Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Bill Smoots delivers the message entitled, Jesus is Not Where We Expect Him to Be. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from the Sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our scripture lesson today comes from John's Gospel, his memory of the resurrection. Hear now God's word for God's people. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been rolled, that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he, Jesus, must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus has a hard time being where people want him to be, where people expect him to be. In our gospel lesson, Mary Magdalene comes to be close to Jesus, or at least close to his body. She comes to be as close to him as she can get, hoping that proximity will help her deal with the pain and the grief and the rawness that has left her numb. She needs to be near Jesus. Yet when she reaches the tomb early on that first Easter morning, Jesus is not where he is expected to be. Next, Peter and the mysterious disciple whom we are told Jesus loved, who was probably John, next they battle it out in a foot race to see whether if Mary is right or if she is just crazed with grief. And again, when they get to the tomb, Jesus is not where he is supposed to be. And all that these two disciples get for their trouble and physical exertion is a pile of linen wrappings. All three disciples, Peter, Mary, and the unnamed one, are not sure what to make of the empty tomb. They are confused and anxious, and if it is possible, they are even more frightened than they have been in recent days, those days since Jesus was killed. And Mary, poor Mary, she really needs that physical place where she can be close to Jesus' body. She is so completely lost that she needs the touchstone of his tomb. Even as we feel their brokenness and our hearts go out to these disciples in this tender time, I think we have to ask a rather difficult, even rude question of them. There is no way to put it delicately that I can see, and so I'll just throw the question out there. Should these disciples, should any disciple of Jesus, be surprised that he is not where we expect him to be? Regardless of whether it's Easter morning or any day or any time, I mean, let's just think about Jesus' track record for the 3 years of his public ministry that we have a pretty good record of. How often is Jesus out of place according to the expectations that others have for him? There are several gospel stories that come to my mind. I'm sure that you can recall some others as well. What about that time when Jesus comes walking across the water to his terrified disciples in the middle of the night who are riding out a huge storm in a tiny boat? Who expects anyone to be walking on water, let alone in the middle of a raging storm? Jesus is not where he is expected to be. And for those disciples, that makes all the difference. These terrified disciples can only be grateful. And what about that time when Jesus is hanging around the village well in the middle of the day, talking to a woman with a bad reputation who is from the wrong country as well? Rabbis like Jesus are expected to adhere to a strict code of behavior which forbids contact with unattended women, which forbids contact with Samaritans. Again, he is not where he is expected to be, and at least for this woman, Jesus' unexpected presence makes a huge difference. Her encounter with Jesus may be the first time in her life that she's ever been taken seriously by anyone, and it changes her life forever. And what about all those times when Jesus shares a meal with tax collectors and socializes with those who are considered to be sinners? And when he hangs around with the poor and the sick, offering them healing and hope? His religious peers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, are particularly appalled by these actions of Jesus, for they expect him to only hang around with good and godly people like themselves. Jesus is never where people want him to be, where people expect him to be. And some don't like him for what they consider to be his poor sense of direction, his poor sense of social norms and expectations, or his belief that God cares about everyone, no exceptions. And though this story occurs long before Jesus' years of intentional ministry, I think my favorite story of him not being where he is expected to be is that one little window into Jesus' adolescence that the gospel writer Luke provides for us. The story of Mary and Joseph taking Jesus up to Jerusalem and the temple for a Passover observance when he is 12 years old. Do you remember this story? If you don't know it, go find it in the second chapter of Luke. The whole village would traditionally go on pilgrimage together, so everybody in the group knows everyone, and all the adults keep an eye on all the children. Indeed, it does take a village to raise a child. And after the holy day is over and it's time to go home, the whole village just reverses course and heads back where they belong. And though Mary and Jesus don't have eyes on Jesus as the village sets out together, and even though they haven't had contact with him for a while, they trust that he is in the group somewhere and that another adult or two adults or 10 adults, however many, somebody has an eye on him. So imagine their terror and surprise and ache when the village group stops a day's walk out of Jerusalem to camp for the night, and Jesus does not come and find Mary and Joseph as he is supposed to. And then when they begin to look around and ask after him, no one can remember seeing him for the entire day. I can only imagine their inner turmoil. I know what I have felt in those moments of parental panic when I couldn't find one of our boys or they weren't where they were supposed to be. I imagine Mary and Joseph's panic to be something like the parents of present, the parents who are present-day refugees and get separated from their children when human traffickers pull them apart, or when they are inexplicably separated at borders, or when the overcrowded boat in which these refugees are traveling capsizes in the dark, and no one can swim, and no one has a life vest. Mary and Joseph can't have slept much that night. Panic and fear and terror flooding their minds every time they roll over, every time they try to close their eyes. And after this awful night, they rush back to Jerusalem, another day lost in travel, another day consumed by worry. And it isn't until the third day when they are nearly out of their minds with fear, that Mary and Joseph find Jesus. But not in any place where they expect him to be, not in any place where they'd been looking. They find Jesus in the temple, sitting with the religious leaders and teachers, having a grand theological discussion about God. Now, it's at this point in the story that I think Luke does not relay the story to us accurately. For he has Mary, after three long, horrible days of fear and uncertainty, say to Jesus in a most civilized way, "Child, why have you treated us this way?" I'm not buying it, Luke. If my kid had been missing for 3 days, my first question to him probably would not have been in polite Bible speak. In fact, I'm quite sure that my first question to him wouldn't be printable in the Bible or anywhere else. And then, to make matters worse, Jesus answers Mary's question in that know-it-all tone that as only an adolescent can. And I apologize to any adolescents that are here this morning, but we've all been there. We've all been that adolescent answering a parental question that we thought was just dumb. We've all used the tone that Jesus does. "Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" I'm sure Mary and Joseph didn't care for that answer. I'm sure that Jesus lost some privileges for a long while. But Jesus is never where people expect him to be, even at the age of 12. So where are we expecting Jesus to be this morning? I think one of the hard things about Easter for us is that Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the tomb. Instead, Jesus is on the loose. When he's on the cross, when he's in the tomb, we know where he is. And we can keep an eye on him, and we can be sure then that he doesn't really know what we're doing, doesn't really know how we're truly behaving. Faithfulness is easier when we're in control. But when Jesus is not where we expect him to be, when the tomb is empty, where nobody's quite sure where he has gone, then we're no longer in control, and our faithfulness is trickier. For Jesus is now free to observe our darkest actions, our less than faithful moments. And this lack of control over Jesus is a problem to our being our normal selves, isn't it? And yet for all the trouble it causes us, our not knowing where Jesus is, I have to say that I believe that Jesus being on the loose is, in a strange way, a more hopeful reality for us. For when Jesus is not where we expect him to be, when he is not safely sealed in the tomb, well, then Jesus is free to walk alongside of us in our fear and our pain and our brokenness. And the comfort of his presence is real. And that makes a difference. He makes a difference. And when Jesus is not where we expect him to be, he is free to lead us in helping God's kingdom, God's beloved community on earth, come just a little bit faster by guiding us to care for the least and the last and the lost. For when we follow Jesus' example, we are pushed to ensure that everyone has access to those things needed for the life that God intends for us, that God intends for all. Quality education and health care, equal access to justice, healthy food, clean water, safe shelter, living without fear of being shot, sitting in a classroom or walking down a street. Jesus' presence with us and his presence in our actions makes all the difference. When Jesus is not where we expect him to be, he is free to forgive us for all the ways in which we fall short of God's glory, all the ways we cover up the goodness of God that lies at the very core of our being. Forgiveness is huge. Jesus is our difference maker. When Jesus is not where we expect him to be, he is free to gift us with life that is filled to overflowing with compassion and grace and the abundance of God. Where would any of us be without these gifts? Thank God, Jesus is free to make a difference in our lives. Why do we worship this Easter morning? Why have we gathered here in the sanctuary, or are we watching on a TV or computer or phone screen? Is it tradition? Is it expectation? It would certainly be fair to say it's the music. These are all good reasons, but I think that we have gathered this day, we have come to be with one another this day to make sure, to make absolutely sure that Jesus is not where we expect him to be. We've gathered to make sure that Jesus is free so that he can call us to follow after him, so that he can lead us in our never being where people expect us to be. For when we are in unexpected places in the name of Jesus, and when we are doing unexpected things in the name of Jesus, the world is changed, the world is better. God's kingdom, God's beloved community on earth comes not just for us, but for more and more people. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed, and no tomb, not even death, can keep Jesus from being where he needs to be. Look, look, look. There goes Jesus. There goes Jesus inviting us to follow after him and follow after his example, surprising ourselves and surprising the world with God's love and God's grace. Let's get going. Amen. I invite us now to respond to God's word to us this day, joining together in the Easter affirmation of faith that is found in our bulletins, and let us stand and proclaim together some of that which we believe. We believe in Jesus, the one who walked our earth, and whose God light illumines every darkness, the one whose life comes from the very life of God, our guide, our teacher, our friend, whose life is an intent of God's creative imagination, who sang love's song at his beginning and was blessed, who was rejected by the powers of the world and was executed by those same powers, sharing the same death of us all. Love had been killed, and those who embraced this love thought it gone forever. But nothing can contain, bind, or stop the love of God, and therefore nothing can contain, bind, or hold back the life Jesus began. And the story continues, and the gift is given to us and to all of renewal, transformation, and life again and without end. We believe in Jesus. Alleluia. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Hi, my name is Marcia Robinson, and I'm a member of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. Tab's beautiful building has been located at 34th and Central for over 100 years, and although the church is steeped in history, it is also dynamic and forward-looking. I love that Tab is committed to being an integral part of the neighborhood and that there are numerous opportunities to be involved in community service activities and social justice programs. For me, Tab is not only an anchor in the neighborhood and the city of Indianapolis, but it is also an anchor in my own faith journey. I'm Marcia Robinson, and I invite you to come see for yourself.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.